Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, saints in the Roman Church are those, as the Catechism puts it, who practiced heroic virtue and lived in fidelity to God's grace. They get canonized and put before believers as models and intercessors. Lutherans don't canonize saints, and even if we have our heroes of the faith, we use saints in a different way. We use it as the Bible uses it, as a name for all Christians, not for a special class of Christians. It is therefore fitting that our epistle shows us the basic reality of what it means to be a Christian, so that we consider on this All Saints' Day the work of God in all his saints, that is, in all believers. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. God has called us his children, and thus we are his children. His creative word has made us what we are, not by nature, for by nature we are sinful and unclean, but by his word we are his children. So you are what God calls you. Now, in English, you have the phrase calling somebody names. Mostly not positive, I think. Strange. When people call you names, that means they insult you. You can reject that. The name they give you might be untrue, but it still hurts. It can destroy a life to be called names, to be called a drunk, a slut, a womanizer. In the age of the internet, we are aware more than ever that calling somebody something is not just an empty word, that it creates reality, and among men, mostly a negative reality. Men lie, but God only speaks the truth. He has called you his child in baptism. He calls you his child in every preaching. And these are not only words. As God has spoken the world into being, so he has spoken you as his child into being. The ultimate ground of this world is not matter, not what we touch, as we might think, not what we see. It is the word of God that has called all this into being, and the word of God that sustains everything that exists. So when God speaks, he doesn't simply describe reality, he creates it. You are what God says. Whatever you might see and feel, whatever others might tell you, you are what God has called you, his beloved child. So you are children of God. Now you belong to the family of God. And this is now your first family. The bonds of blood have to cede to the bond established by God in our adoption. Parental authority is limited, and in some situations even abolished, where it is exercised against the will of God. It has happened more than once in a predominantly non-Christian culture that a convert to Christianity was disowned by his family because he became a Christian. Earthly family and heavenly family don't always go together in this fallen world. But you have a family that nobody can take from you, a family of God. To be called a child, though, might not be everybody's cup of tea. Talking about children, does that not play into the hands of people like Sigmund Freud, who claims that Christianity is basically some kind of a regressive mindset, a crutch for those who refuse to grow up? They can't cope with life, so they have this heavenly Father that takes care of everything. Part of our life is indeed to get beyond the stage of the child, to grow up, to become independent. A guy living in the basement of his parents in his 30s, or as the Germans call it, to live in the hotel mama, is rarely seen as an example of filial piety, something to be imitated. Rather, he's seen as someone as a failure in life. Yes, indeed, we are to grow up and take up responsibility and cease to be childish. But there are limits to our independence, to us running our lives. As Christians, as children of God, we are dependent and subject to God. Now, this might offend modern sensitivities. But modern sensitivities that dream of autonomy and self-mastery, that wants to throw off any yoke, such sensitivity lives under an illusion. It lives under the illusion that such autonomy and self-mastery is possible. Yesterday we heard in the Gospel that whoever does sin is enslaved by sin, and that the Son sets us free. The freedom that Christ brings us is the freedom of the children of God, the freedom from sin. It's not some kind of autonomy. Those who reject Christ, those who reject his freedom, those who reject the word that makes them children, do not find greater freedom. They find the slavery of sin. Absolute autonomy of man is a fiction, born of the desire not to be under God's authority, an illusion for which we have to pay dearly. The Father has given us this kind of love, that we are called children of God. It is God's great love that has made us his children. We have not earned it. It didn't happen like in some grim story where the orphans are lined up in the orphanage. A couple comes in, and now every child be on your best behavior. Maybe this is your chance to get out. And so everybody is on his or her best behavior. When God adopted us, it was not like that. We were not standing there saying, please, 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 God, take me. Rather the opposite. There is nothing, there's no merit and worthiness on our part that caused God to make us his children. Neither does he owe it to us in any way. It is his free love, a completely and utterly undeserved gift, that he makes us his children. So does God love you? Yes, of course. He has shown it to you. He has made you his child. Remember this when you are tempted to grumble or are dissatisfied or doubt God's goodwill toward you. He has made you his child. His love is undoubtable as this adoption. You are an heir to his kingdom. The world does not know any of this. They do not know the reality of the Christian life because they do not know God. Outside of faith in God, outside of this of his word, Christians might look not that different from other people. Only by looking at God's adopting word and action, the difference between Christians and non-Christians is revealed. But this will not always be so. The day will come where Christians will be transformed in public, where they will be like Christ at that great day of his return. Then it will be public what now is hidden to the world. Then the work of salvation will come to its completion. Yes, we have already received the acquittal from judgment, and we have received the Holy Spirit as a down payment. In hope, we look to the future, where Christ will transform us completely in his likeness. There we will share completely in his life that has overcome death. We will be raised from the dead and have a body that will not die. There we will live under him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. There we will be like him without sin, our whole being completely conformed to the will of God, free from any stain of original sin. We don't have it all yet. We have the beginning. We have the promise. But in hope, we look forward to this glorious consummation of God's work in us. As children of God, looking forward to the fulfillment of God's work in us, we now are called upon to purify ourselves as Christ is pure. We are still in a struggle. Yes, we have been adopted as God's children. This is what we are. And we wait for this complete transformation and into the likeness of Christ. But our life right now is not only described by God's adoption and God's future action. It is also described by that sin that still is in our members, that sin that is forgiven but still produces sin. There is still need to fight. Being and acting pure is not as natural for the children of God on this earth as one should expect it. It is necessary, therefore, to hear again and again who we are, God's children, no longer simply Adam's of Adam's kind. It is necessary to look forward to the final execution of Christ's victory of sin and be thus strengthened so that we reject the claim of sin to be the Lord of our life. It is a struggle to live purely. It is a struggle which describes the life of any Christian. The sanctity and purity that was given to you in your baptism now also becomes the signature of our lives. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. Indeed, a marvelous love that all alone, without any of our doing, has made us his children and keeps us his children. A love that opens our lips to praise God and transforms our lives, now beginning and still marred by our sinful corruption, but then on Christ's return in fullness to glory. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, keep your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. Amen.